Okay, glad you could all be here with us today. As you probably figured out by now, we're starting a new series here today, and this is more than just our standard kind of ordinary series that we kind of talk about here, because what we're doing today, what we're starting today, is actually more of like a big church-wide campaign kind of a thing. And some of you were around when we did the same campaign a few years ago, probably 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But the majority of you probably weren't. The campaign is all based on a book written by Rick Warren. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And inside this book, which is on sale in the back for $12 a piece, you can pick one up on your way out, okay? And in this book and in this series, all right, we're going to try to answer some of life's great questions, and some of those kind of deep philosophical kind of questions that maybe you pondered once or twice when you were home on a Saturday afternoon bored or something like that. And the questions that you can see are going to all appear in your handout there, and you see that they are the question of our existence, why am I alive, question of my significance, does my life really matter, and number three, question of intention, what's my purpose. So let's jump right on in and talk about the first question on the handout, which is, why am I alive? So, what's the answer? Anyone? Why am I alive? Anyone got an answer? Why am I alive is one of those old questions that's been around since the beginning of time and will continue to be around as long as there are radio talk shows and Oprah Winfrey's and people like that to debate and discuss what is the meaning of life. Why is it that we're alive in the first place? If you take a survey on the street, in your office, on your campus, I guarantee you, you would get a medley of different answers, and you wouldn't end up with any kind of clear understanding. Some people would say, the purpose of life is, the meaning of life is to be happy. That's a common one that you see. To live a good life. Okay, or to be successful, or to help other people, or to have a family and have kids. All those things sound nice, but what's the real reason? What we want to try to do today is kind of dig into that a little bit. First thing that you'll see there from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 18, is this question, why am I alive, is not something new, and it was asked in biblical times by Jeremiah the prophet when he said, why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow that my day should be consumed with shame? I think Jeremiah says something that I know I have uttered before, and I'm sure you have probably uttered before as well. Why am I alive here on this planet? Just for problems? Doesn't it seem like sometimes the only reason for our existence is problems and pain and suffering and heartache? And it seems like just one problem after another. Well, the goal of today and the goal of this series that we're going to look at together is to try to answer this question. And the first thing that I want everyone to come to the understanding of together is that there must be a purpose in life. All right? You may not have figured out what the purpose in life is, and that guy on your dorm hall who thinks that he knows, maybe he doesn't know what the purpose is, but just because he doesn't know, and you don't know, and Jerry Springer doesn't know, doesn't mean that there isn't a purpose. All right? And I want you guys to first start off this series with that understanding. That there must be a reason. All right? And it must be a concrete reason. That when someone says, why was I created? Why did God make people? It's the age-old question. Why did God create us just to suffer on earth? Why not take us straight to heaven? Why put us here if he knows that we're going to lead a miserable life? There should be an answer to that question. And the answer is not, I don't know. There has to be an answer. And just because you don't know it, doesn't mean that it isn't out there. What we're going to try to do is figure out what the answer is, and we're going to try to go to the Bible. The problem is, if you don't know what the answer to this question is, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to do most likely do what majority of us do when we don't know an answer. We invent one. When someone asks you the question of why is it that you exist, and you don't know the answer, I don't think the deep inside you're going to be comfortable with that. What's going to happen is you're going to invent your own purpose and invent your own reason in life. Or even worse, you listen to the next guy's invention and listen to what he created for himself as his purpose in life. This is why suicide is the number two killer among teenagers today. Because they don't know what the purpose is, and they listen to that guy telling what the purpose is, and because they haven't met it, they take their lives. This is why people is unfulfilled and unsatisfied in life. Because they don't know the answer to this question, and they just invent a reason. My purpose must be to be successful. My purpose must be to love others. My purpose must be whatever. It's a dangerous way of going through life. Imagine if you played the game of football and you didn't know how to score points. You didn't know the rules of the game. Imagine the Cowboys and Redskins get out there today. I know some of you say the Redskins look like they don't know how to score points. I know. Okay? But imagine that you got out there on the field and you didn't know how to win the game and how to score points. And the guy next to you said, no. The key is just keep kicking the ball out of bounds. That'll get you as many points as you can. Or some guy says, no. The point of the game is just to hold the ball so the other team doesn't get it. If you play football according to these rules that you have invented, what's going to happen by the end of the game? A, you will lose, and B, you'll be very frustrated because you're doing what you think you should be doing, and the points on the other team just keep going higher and higher while you'll still stay at zero. If you don't know the rules of the game, it's going to be very hard to be successful at the game. Same thing in life. Many of us, if we're honest, we don't know why it is that we exist. We don't know why it is that we're alive. And if that's the way you're going through life, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be unfulfilled, and unfortunately, you're probably going to lose, okay, when all is said and done. So we need to figure out why it is we are alive. We're going to go to the Bible, but before we go to the Bible, okay, let's go to some of the ways that the other guys invent. Some of the ways that the other people say that you should live your life. Some of the theories that are out there, how to discover your purpose. First is what's called the mystical approach. The mystical approach is what says to find out your purpose in life, take a deep breath and look within. Your purpose is within. Okay? And you have to examine and look and breathe hard and breathe soft and do like this. And there's seminars, and there's books, and there's talk shows, and there's yoga classes. There's all these kinds of different things that will teach you how to find your meaning from within. That sounds nice. Bottom line is, it doesn't work. Okay? If my purpose was inside there, then I'd know what it is. If everyone's purpose was inside them, then everyone would know what it is. And it shouldn't be that hard to figure out. But the bottom line is, the purpose is not inside there. Because you are not a self-created being. Okay, you were created by someone, God. So in order to find out why you were created, you have to go to the one who created you. Logic. Okay? It only makes sense. If I was created by someone, and I want to know why I was created, then logic says, go to the person who created you and ask him. This is a common approach that's out there, though. Okay? Oprah Winfrey did a show about this, about finding out the purpose for our existence. Okay, and someone was telling me about it, and the whole thing she would say about, you know, looking within and all this kinds of business and all that kinds of, and by the end of it, everyone was really, really confused because she didn't really give an answer. So, this is not the right way. Second way people try to approach it is the self-help approach. There's hundreds of books about this one. And this says that you have to invent your purpose. You have to go out there and make your purpose. Aim high, sky's the limit, study hard, eat your Wheaties, and make yourself a great purpose in life. Okay? And there's no one to stop you from having the highest purpose. The problem with this approach is, this is a good thing, but this has nothing to do with purpose. This is about success. Okay? And this kind of self-help approach will lead to a successful life. But success does not necessarily equal purpose. Agree? There's many people who are successful and have no benefit in life, have no purpose for existence. All right? That's why rich people commit suicide. That's why people, you see them and you're like, they're making $10 million, and they're playing basketball, and they're doing all this stuff, and they're on TV, and then they hate their lives. Why? Because success is not equal purpose. Your purpose, if the only purpose that you're living for is to be successful and to have like a good career and have like a nice family, then you're never going to be fulfilled in life, because your purpose is much greater than that, than just to be happy. Okay, your purpose is much greater than just to live a good life and to be a good person. You were made by God, all right, and it has to be something greater than that. Third approach that some people take is the philosophical approach. Philosophical approach is a very, very funny one. And once upon a time, there was a man named Dr. Hugh Moorhead. Dr. Hugh Moorhead was the chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Northeastern University. All right? Chairman of the Department of Philosophy. Dr. Moorhead decided to do a little like scientific experiment. He wrote a letter to 250 of the most well-known and famous philosophers and scientists and all-around intellectual people of his time, and he asked them a simple question in the letter. What's the purpose of life? He took his responses and he published them in a book. You can go read that book. And the responses are very discouraging. What the most intellectual and the smartest people in the world said about what the purpose of life is. Let me give you some examples. Many of them admitted that they had no clue. Others admitted that they were guessing and just inventing their own. And their response. One guy responded, said, "If you figure it out, please let me know." Just shows that all guessing at best. Another person said, "I have no answers and I no longer want to search for any." Another one, Dr. Carl Jung, said, "I don't know the meaning of life, but it looks as if something were meant by it." Very helpful response that one is right there. The bottom line is, all these fancy schmancy philosophers and intellectuals and smart guys don't really know what they're talking about. Okay? They may talk a mean talk, and they may use big fancy words, but in the end, they're just guessing like everyone else is, and none of them really know the answer. So what's the solution? What do we do? If I don't look to myself, I don't have the solution here. And I don't look to the smart people, they don't have the solution. And I don't look to books and seminars, and the solution isn't there. Well, there's only one place that's left. And that's God. Because the bottom line is, if God is not in your equation is incorrect. Because God created you, and if your purpose isn't coming from Him, and the answer to the question of why I exist isn't, if He's not in the equation, then it's wrong, because He's the Creator. This is illustrated. What we're going to do today is we're going to answer these questions, and we're going to see some clips from an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Good show, funny show, and we're going to see some clips. And the episode that we're watching today, the girl, the daughter, asks Ray and his wife, but she asks specifically Ray, that where do babies come from? Okay? You know, the sex talk, okay? And she starts asking about babies and all that kind of stuff. And the first scene, which we didn't watch, was when this happened, Ray was really taken aback. He didn't know how to answer. So he just started like to pretend to sneeze, okay? Basically just pretended sneezing so he could get away from her. But now he goes and talks to his wife. He does a little bit of research, okay? And he comes back ready to answer this question. You can watch here and see.
What are you doing? Listen, every day you ask questions on babies and stuff.
When you start sneezing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Anyway, I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that again.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
What a man and a woman do.
No, I mean,
don't want us here?
Yeah, why?
You see what I mean by inventing your own purpose if you don't know the answer. Why are we on this planet? How would you have answered that girl? Why are we on this planet? Why are we here? Why did God make us and put us right here? Well, Proverbs 16, verse 4, gives us a hint. It says that the Lord has made all for Himself. If you're following along there on your handout, circle "for Himself," because that's the most important part of the verse right there. That the reason you are made is not for you, but for Him. And if you want to know why, you got to start by looking at what His purpose is. Anything that's created here on earth, God created for Him to have a specific reason for Him. That means every rock, every animal, every insect, everything that exists on earth was created for Him, not for ourselves. So any study of why it is that we exist without God in the equation is always going to be incorrect. What you're going to see is that the Lord made each one of us for very specific purposes. And what we're going to see together, we're going to study throughout the rest of this series and while we're reading the book, is that God made each one of us. There's like a general reason and then a specific reason. There's a general reason, actually five of them, and we'll look at them together. Five reasons why each one of us was put here on earth as our general reason. But then even further, there's a specific reason why you are here, and it's different than you, then different than you, different you. God has a specific purpose for each and every single one of us that we'll study as we go along here. But that's not our topic for today. Our topic for today is just the why. What was His motive? Another verse right here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Key right there is that last phrase is in love. If I had to answer the question of why am I alive, I would say that I was created to be loved by God. That's the way I would answer. I was created as an object of God's love. Unfortunately, I can't explain this, and neither can you, and neither can anyone. We can't explain why God would love us before we existed. We can't explain why God would create us as an object of love when He knew that we would betray Him, and we knew this and that. All we can say is that God's mind is so much bigger than our mind, and God's love for us is so much greater than anyone can possibly explain. Anyone who says they can explain to you how much God loves you is not telling the truth. Because God's love is a mystery. Why God loves me is a mystery, and how He loves me is an even greater mystery. But I know that before the foundation of the world, before anything else existed, before there were skies and lights and dark and moons, I know God thought of me and said, I love him and I'm going to create him as an object of my love. And you the same way. So while I'm alive, I was created to be loved by God. I was created as an object of God's love. Second question that we want to answer today is, does my life matter? All right, question of significance. This is an important question that we need to ask ourselves. Come on. Tomorrow is voting day, or 2 days is voting day, or something like that. Does my vote matter? I'm one in like 10 million. Does my vote really matter? Does my life really, does my life have any real significance here? What I do and what I don't do? Again, it's not a new question. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4. Isaiah said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Isaiah said, I worked, I labored, I did this, I did that, and it seems like it's all pretty much empty. I'm sure you know how that feels. I'm sure you know what it feels like to bust yourself and feel like it's all pretty much in vain, and it doesn't really make a difference when all is said and done. A life without meaning is a life that isn't worth living. There's a story back in World War II. There was prisoners in a Nazi camp in Hungary. And the place where they were being held prisoner, being held, was a human sewage factory, okay? Where their job was to process human sewage. Not very nice. Okay, it doesn't sound like a dream job by any means. And they were doing this for years and years and years. I shouldn't say years and years, but months and months and months as the war waged on. But then something happened in the course of the war that the Allies bombed the factory. So the factory was destroyed. So these people who were processing human sewage, which stinks, now all of a sudden had nothing to do. So the Nazis told them, take that pile of bricks and move it over there. And then the next day, take the same pile and move it back over there. Just busy work. Okay, just keep them busy all day, carry all these bricks, put them over there, and then when you're finished, take them all and move them back over there. And this is what they did, day after day after day. What happened is these same prisoners, who had been doing just fine with human sewage, and doing just fine when that was their job, began to go crazy. Many of them jumped in front of guards, many of them did anything they could to be killed, because a life without meaning and significance is the worst kind of torture, if you don't know that your life has any great significance in life. I hope that all of us see what our significance is. And again, to know what your significance is, you got to go to God. If you look at people existing in the world, there's kind of three levels of living life that people exist at. Survival, success, and significance. The first level, the survival level, is where most people in this world, unfortunately, exist at this level. Which means they're not really living life, just existing. Just trying to get through the day. Just trying to get food on the table. Just trying to make it through the end of the day. And then they wake up the next morning and the whole goal is to make it through the end of the next day as well. This is the lowest level of living. The second level, which my guess is that most of us here would be living at, is a success level. Success level is when, by the world's standards, we can say that we have made it. All right? And we're not worried about our existence as much as we're worried about our comfort and our significant and our purpose, and the reason that we live is to build more comfort. Go to work, get a new job, or get a better car, get a new house. So I can go out to eat, have more spending cash, stuff like that. But the thing is, with the second level, even though it's better than the first, it's still not where you should be at. If it was, then rock stars and movie stars would be the happiest people in the world. They'd be the most fulfilled people that there is in life, if success was all that it was about. But the third level is where we want to get to, is living for significance. Okay? The significance level is knowing the answers to these questions. Why am I alive? Does my life matter? And what in the world am I here to do? What's my purpose? My specific purpose here in life is to do what? Hopefully we can make it to that third level. If you want to know about the significance of your life, you need look no further than Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, which says, God speaking to Jeremiah and says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Make no mistake about it. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Before you were in the womb, God knew your name. He knew how many hairs would be on your head. He thought about your birthday. He thought about your wedding day. He started planting the flowers and the candles and the boys and the girls and this and that. He thought about you before you even existed, and he thought about you in love. That's how much you matter to God, okay? There's no such thing as someone whose life is insignificant. There's no such thing, even though your parents may have accidents, okay? God doesn't have accidents, okay? Maybe some accident people here. God doesn't have any accidents. No one is here randomly. Everyone is here was planned by God. Scene two of the Raymond episode. What happens is now Ray goes back downstairs, and he's now conversing with the rest of the family. If you've seen the show, you know it's a funny set of characters. And now together, they're going to come up with what's the meaning of life. And the older brother, I think his name is Robert, not sure, starts to worry about this whole thing, and it's causing him problems. And he compares a human's life to the life of a fruit fly. Okay? And apparently a fruit fly, I didn't know this, only lives 24 hours and then they die. So he compares the two. Let's watch it together. Is God playing a game with us, as Robert there was pondering? Is God trying to confuse us? Oftentimes it seems that way. That we're just kind of walking around here, and like fruit flies, we just kind of live for a little bit, and then we die, and maybe some of us got lucky and found some honey, and maybe some of us just kind of missed out on it. Well, unlike the fruit fly, okay, God has much more long-range plans for us. Psalm 33, verse 11. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Make no mistake about it, that God has a purpose for you, and it is an eternal purpose. Again, let me say that again. That God has a purpose for you, and it is an eternal purpose. It is much greater than the 60, 70, 80, 100 years that you live here on earth. God has created us and said, I have a great purpose for you. But you know what? You're probably not going to discover it all, at least not in its entirety, on earth, because it's so much bigger than earth and human life. The biggest mistake that you can make in life is thinking that life is about the here and now and seeing only 50 years ahead, 60 years ahead, 80 years ahead, because life is about so much more than that. So does my life matter? I would answer that question by saying, yes, it does. I was made to last forever. I was not made to be like a fruit fly to die after 24 hours and that's it. I was not made to be like a human who just lives for 80 years and then dies and that's it. I was made, and you were made, to live forever. You cannot understand the meaning of life without realizing that everything that you do on this earth is just like the pregame show. Okay, it's just a warm-up act. That everything on that side of death is going to be much greater than this side of death. You may spend 100 years on this side of death. You're going to spend, I don't know how to, infinity years on the other side as opposed to this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, the good question. So the question, I think he's referring to this verse right here, which said that we were made to last forever. So the question was, so then why do we die? Well, that's the thing, is your body wasn't made to last forever. It's the inside of you. It's your spirit that's made to last forever. And that's what will last forever. And the mistake that many of us make is tying my spirit to my body. This body Is this something I'm just supposed to put on for a few years and then throw it away? Because this body stinks. This body has diseases. This body has weaknesses. This body has sin inside of it. And God does not... This is just a Halloween costume for the night. Okay? And God wants me to get rid of this thing, and He wants me to live with Him for all eternity. But this body won't. So don't tie your spirit to your body. Okay? Because you were made to last forever and live with God for all of eternity. And everything on this life is just preparation for that. Okay? Everything on this life is just like the warm-up for what's going to happen on that life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, the earthly tent meaning the earthly body, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What St. Paul is saying is that you're not like the fruit fly, man. You're made to live forever. And even though, like my friend over here pointed out for us, that the body may not live forever, what's on the inside, the spirit, will live forever. So first, why am I alive? I was created. Why am I here? Why did God create me? I was created as an object of God's love. I was created to be loved by God. None of us can fully explain God's love. We can only hope to comprehend it as much as we can, but we can never fully grasp it. Number two, does my life really matter? Yes, it matters. Even if you don't see it in the earthly existence, your life was made to last for all of eternity and has eternal significance. Now the third question. So what's my purpose in life? Well, that's the goal of the rest of this series. And we're going to take a look at it over the next 40 days. And what you're going to do, there's three components to discovering your purpose in life. And like I said, there's a general purpose, which we will discover together. But then through that general purpose, you will hopefully discover your specific purpose. Because while we all have the same general purpose, your specific purpose is different than mine. In order to discover the purpose, we're going to talk about it here on Sundays. And every week, we're going to look at a different purpose that God has made us for. Secondly, there's a book that you can hopefully pick up today. It's on sale in the back for $12 a piece. And that book, it's broken up in 40 chapters. And each chapter is just like one or two pages. So you can read every single day, one page, and it's going to correlate to what we talked about on Sunday. So the readings for the rest of this week, okay, day one, day two, day one through seven, is going to relate to what we talked about today. So hopefully you can get a book and you can start reading today. Then the third component is the small groups. And hopefully by now everyone's signed up for a small group. If you didn't, this is your last chance to do so because they're going to be starting this coming week. And through the small group discussions together, we're going to really get a chance to go deeper into what in the world am I here for? A famous philosopher named Bertrand Russell was an atheist, said, unless you assume there is a God, the question of life's meaning is irrelevant. Unless you assume there is a God, the question of life's meaning is irrelevant. I would agree with that statement, because it's logical. Because if you were born by chance, if you're just a freak of nature, if you're only here because two atoms banged and big bangs and all this kind of stuff, and there's no master designer behind it, then absolutely, your purpose, just flip a coin and decide what your purpose is, because it'd be something completely random. And if that's the case, then there really is no significance, there really is no purpose, and there really is nothing deep in life. But if there is a God, and there is a God, then there must be a purpose. There must be a specific reason why I was created. If there isn't, then it means that God does things randomly. And I don't believe in a God who does things randomly. All right? The fact that God created me, that He took time to make my thumbprint different than your thumbprint, means that He has a specific purpose for me that's different than anyone else's purpose in life. And it's our job to discover it. How in the world are we going to discover what the purpose is? Well, we're going to go to the Maker. And I've done this before, I actually did this a couple weeks ago, I was at the doctor's office, and I saw something interesting. And somehow, the doctor made me wait in his office for a long, long time, so I get bored and I get fidgety, so I start playing with stuff. I have to doodle with things. So I started messing around with something that I thought it was one of those things that goes inside your ear, okay? But apparently it wasn't a thing that goes inside your ear, it goes in another place, which we won't discuss together, because this is a PG-rated event right here, okay? So I started doodling this and that, and I asked the doc, you know, what's this for? Okay, and he explained to me what it's for. It's nothing really, really bad. Don't think of anything like that. Okay, but the point is that I was wrong because I don't know how to use it. Okay, but the doctor, he knows how to use the doctor tools. And I'm a tool of God. Okay, so for me to know how I'm supposed to be used, what the purpose of this life is, I have to go to the maker of humanity and ask him. And anything other than that is, like I said in the beginning, is just guessing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the owner. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the owner's manual. Okay, and the owner's manual for this is the Bible. Okay, and God wrote down specifically what it is that this was created for. So we're going to look at it together. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So put another way, I find my purpose. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, I find my purpose by getting to know God. I find out why I'm here by going to the maker of me and asking him questions and reading what he wrote down. And that's what we're going to do together. No one else can answer this question for you other than God. Your friends in school can't answer it for you. They may think they can, but they can't. Your co-worker down the hall in the cubicle next door, who's living for pleasure and lust and garbage, can't answer this question for you. Okay? Only God can answer it. Last clip of the Everybody Loves Raymond video, they discuss together what's the purpose. Okay. You know what? I hope that you've seen by now that this question of what is life's purpose isn't going to be an easy one. But you know, believe it or not, the old kooky lady in the video actually said two things that were correct. The first thing that she said was when she said, let's go to the Bible. And that's actually what we're going to do, because the answer is in there. And she, believe it or not, even went to the right verse. She went to the first verse in the Bible. And the first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God... Stop. In the beginning, it started with God. It didn't start with you. So in order to understand your purpose in life, it's not about you as much as it is about Him. And everyone needs to write that down. Okay? That when it comes to my purpose in life, it's not about me. This is why so many of us fall short. This is why so many people is confused in life. Because for them, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. When the world started, you weren't there. Okay? God was, and we have to start with God's purposes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is going to be like our theme verse for this series. All things were created through Him and for Him. Okay? All things were created through Him and for Him. If you want to know your purpose, it starts with God. It ends with God, and everything in the middle has to do with God. It's not about you, and your life is not about your comfort, your pleasure, your dreams, your this, your that. Your life is about what God has intended your life to be. The other thing that the woman said correct in the video is when she said, this may take a minute, okay? And it is going to take a minute. It's actually going to take more than a minute. And like I said, it's going to take us over the next 40 days. We're going to discuss this together on Sundays. You're going to read it in your daily reading as well as in your weekly small group. It's not going to be something that we discover in one session, all right? Because God's purposes is bigger than that. But I promise you, if you stick with it throughout the next 40 days, then God will reveal to you what your general purpose is and hopefully your specific purpose is in life. To me, that's a pretty good incentive to stick it out. So like I said, I hope everyone can get a copy of the book before they go and start reading it today. Read day one, and tomorrow read day two, and so on and so forth. I hope everyone is committed to being in a small group and has signed up by now, and if not, sign up today. And thirdly, I hope you're all committed to attending here every Sunday for the next six sessions. If you're hesitating on the Sunday commitment, I'll throw one more thing out there for you that'll make your life, to give you even more of an incentive. We decided to have, we're going to have a little game that we're going to play every week here in the talks together. And it's going to be like a riddle that you have to solve. And every week we're going to reveal a different clue to that riddle. And whoever solves it at the end, okay, if only one person solves it, he'll win, but if two or more, then we'll raffle off a portable DVD player. Okay, so someone will walk away from this series with their very own nice little, cute little portable DVD player that we'll give away on the final week. But in order to win it, or to be eligible to win it, you'll have to figure out the riddle, okay, which like I said, starting next week, every week we're going to reveal one clue. So you can't just show up at the end and figure it all out. Okay, you got to be here every Sunday, all right, and hopefully you'll be able to pick up the clues. Okay? Anyone have any questions about how that works? About anything? Okay, very good. Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, because we know that we are not created by accident, but we were created as an object of your infinite and immeasurable love. How you could love us so much when we don't even care about you sometimes, we don't understand. How you could love us and take care of us and bless us, and you could give to us so many things when so often we ignore you or we just flat out disobey you. It's a mystery to us, Lord. But we really pray that we can make a change in those ways, that we can, I know we can never be worthy of your love, but we can at least do our best to fulfill the purpose that you have for us. You created each one of us to live for eternity, and you created each one of us for a specific reason. And I pray that during these next 40 days, that through our readings, through our small group session, through our time on Sundays, you would reveal that what it is for each and every single one of us. Give a blessing to our group who's gathered here today, and let each one to discover the purpose that you have planned for them in life, so that no one would be unsatisfied and unfulfilled any longer. Pray all this in the name of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother St. Mary and St. Mark and all your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.